following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Studio A is where we're at, as we usually are here on, the middle of this summer, middle of August. It feels like the middle of summer. It kind of does, as hot as it's been, but hey, it's what happens this time of year. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Before too long, it'll be the holidays and the way you go. Such as it is. It's episode 288. Coming up, we'll get into kind of an interesting scenario that I've encountered, and I've talked to a few people about that's sort of the trend of certain industries and things. Right now, though, I wanted to take a little bit of a moment to you know, I like to beat up on Facebook. I know a lot of people do. I don't know. It's an interesting space. I remember the innocence of it when it first came out, and it was interesting to see, you know, how people with a platform to really start making some noise or saying things, how it affects people. And it's interesting how that does when people are given a platform to speak their mind about certain things, they'll take that opportunity. The difference being, of course, it being hidden behind a keyboard, you get to say other things that are out to inflame and whatnot. And it seems like it's gotten more and more of that, along with this real mundane thing that goes along. And I don't know if it's just in my feed or not. I mean, I have close to the friend limit. I'm close to like 5,000, I guess. And that will probably always be like that, because I tend to really weed certain feeds out, just because there's nothing really interesting about what some people post, and that's all well and good. You know, granted, there's a lot of there's a lot of schools of thought about how Facebook really affects us or doesn't affect us. One such thing is I remember a time when people would completely flip out if it wasn't there. I don't think it's the case that much anymore. Although there's a few people that really, you know, they've got to have their daily carpet bombing of Facebook, where they post all the different little, you know, self-affirmation memes and really kind of pointless quotes that mean really nothing. I guess, except for themselves. And that's what I think social media has done, is it's not necessarily an interaction between one person and somebody else or a group of people. It's people interacting with themselves. That's what it seems like to me, because as I I'm sitting here looking at it now, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of events and stuff that's kind of cool. It's sort of like a bulletin board of like, oh, this is happening, I might go check that out, or I may not. People post a picture of their classic cars and stuff, and people, you know, what do you think about this? And they kind of like it. And there's some funny stuff, not necessarily. And of course, there's a lot of politics. And it's kind of annoying, really. That gets old. Because no time in the history of social media has somebody made a statement politically, I guess trying to sway whoever random person it is seeing that, is going to change their point of view about anything. They're going to sit there and go, oh, you know, I changed my point of view because, well, somebody on Facebook made a damn good argument about blah, blah. You never see that. You never stinking see that, because I don't know. There's a lot of self-righteous indignation that's out there. But, you know, there's differences between what you see in Facebook and what you see in another Facebook product, which is Instagram. Instagram seems to be a little more wholesome, I guess, is one way to look at it. Still a lot of the self-affirmation stuff, but there's people there that are forced to put up some sort of picture, and that's that's kind of cool because everybody's got a camera and they'll take a picture of something that, quite frankly, seems rather interesting. And it does make it a little more fun to peruse. Twitter is also a hoot because there's basically two schools of thought about Twitter. Either you understand it or you don't. And I kind of do. I understand it a great deal. And it is fun to really delve into it. And when you play around with it and get into it, you kind of get to pick and choose which echo chamber you want to step into. That's the amusing part of it. And there's a lot of bravado and a lot of, a lot of muscle flexing going on over there. But there's also some very funny stuff because you're limited as to how much you can say in any given second. Which in and of itself creates interesting posts. And that's kind of what I'm getting at, because Facebook, I think, has lost its interesting factor to it. It's designed, of course, to make money for the Facebook people, Zuckerberg and company, by serving you advertisements. And they don't make their money on advertisements. You know that, don't you? They make their money on the data that is collected that they sell to other advertisers. That's where their real money is. And it's interesting if you really delve into some of the things about what Facebook knows about you. Well, we're sending you ads on blah, 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 because you've shown an interest in blah, 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 blah. And I'll go through it. And I think Facebook thinks I'm a young black woman, which could very well be as far as Facebook is concerned. And that's, all well and good. I keep them guessing. But it points to the fact that Facebook doesn't know that much about you. They think they do, but it goes back to that targeted advertising thing, because it's based on what your proclivities might be, what things you might like and what things you don't like. And 9 times out of 10, it's dead wrong. I think we're going to be seeing a slight change in things when we understand that targeted advertising just doesn't work. It really doesn't. There's a whole thing. There is a school of thought about, matching your advertisers with your audience, but you have to dial it back. You have to go after generalities. You can't just go after somebody who's like, oh, you like music from Stax, therefore you're going to be getting all of these ads that people like you have in common. And when you really delve into it, you realize none of this makes any sense. It just doesn't. So the question I think exists: is it viable? I don't know. The jury's probably still out on all that. Personally, I could do without it. I do find myself on it a lot, just out of curiosity. It's more of like a morbid curiosity. But I'm not on it as much as I used to. Just don't got time for that. I really don't. There's other things I need to be occupying my online time with. Or, as is said, my executive time. So, I don't know. Be that as it may. But that's not what we're getting into today. I want to get into, more specifically, here up out of this break, I want to talk a little bit about disturbing, but it's not a trend. It's a reality of people that want to make money off of those who are trying so hard to work. I'll explain. It's coming up next, and you're listening to it right here from Radioland. Don't go away.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Everybody has that one friend or so that you see, back on Facebook for a moment, that you see in social media that is really trying like hell to exist in this world of easy come, easy go. That's what they're kind of sold on. What I'm talking about is that the MLM stuff, multi-level marketing. I'm using this as an example. You'll see the people that are pushing the paparazzi jewelry type thing, or the diet stuff that's out there. It Works, I think, was a thing for a while. There was the body wrap thing. They all come and go. And there's these people that talk about, hey, I'm gonna be making, hundreds of thousands of dollars pushing crap onto you. And they use, Facebook for what it's really kind of designed to do. And it's to push your brand. It's to push your initiative. It's to push whatever it is that you want to do within certain reason, of course. And the the notion of this is fascinating to me, because it's not just like multi-level marketing kind of opens up the door for a more sinister thing, believe it or not, that I think is existing out there. But the bottom rule is this: if it costs you money, I mean, if it costs you a lot of money to work, then it's not a good job now, isn't it? I mean, if it costs you money to go to work, I mean, I'm not talking about getting in a car and driving in, or a bus fare, or whatever the case may be. And sure, there's certain things that you got to have to do your job. That's fine. But it shouldn't be where you have to be someone else's bitch, even though you're being sold a bill of goods that says that you're self-employed. Prime example is this whole notion of pay to play. It's really kind of a funny way to say, you know, if you want what I have, you got to give me money so you can make money. I don't like this. I really don't. And there's a lot of it that's out there. Musicians have been fighting this very same thing for a long time. They want to play a particular club or a venue. A lot of times, the venue or the theater might say, well, you're going to have to pay me my money for the hiring of my bartender, although I get all the beer sales. I gotta hire a guy to run the door, even though you're going to give him a cut of what you make. And, you know, you got to pay for my staff to be there. And then you can, so automatically you're already in the hole before you even get the room going, you know. And it's unfortunate. You know, that's a basic example of kind of how that works. I work in one of the things that I do, I work in the voice business, and there's a lot of people who are like me, voice actors, that want to get out there and do things and do this kind of work. It's a good living. It's an interesting living, that's for sure. But the problem is, there are companies out there who have decided to take advantage of people like us and say, hey, we'll hook you up. This is their angle. We'll hook you up with work by getting you by being a place where people who need voices can come to us, and then you give us your demos, and you can apply for you can audition for all of these jobs, and you can bid for whatever the budget is. So say a budget is, say, I don't know, $500. And it's really kind of coming down to who's the lowest bidder with the quality voice that gets the gig. But to have access to all of this, a voice actor would have to pay this company money to get the auditions. If it sounds fucked up, it's because it is. That's my point of view on it. Here's what's really, really, really bad about this, is that the more money you give them, the more quality auditions you get, and maybe a better shot at making that money back. I don't like this. I've spoken with a lot of people, a lot of colleagues that do this. There's a few that are okay with it to a certain extent. They don't necessarily like it because perhaps there's a lot of double dipping going on. It seems sort of shady. And then there's a lot of people who just flat out, they just refuse to do it. They do it the old-fashioned way. You put your talent out there. You find yourself some representation, get an agent, that kind of thing. They get you the work. They take their percentage, and then boom, off you go. Isn't that sort of the same thing? No, it's not. Because an agent does a lot more than just get you the auditions. They represent you in certain matters of contractual obligation. They can help you out. They can take care of, like, make sure that your taxes are squared away. If you're a part of SAG-AFTRA, the union, there's insurance that you can get. There's benefits to that. Be that as it may, I don't want to get too far off into that realm of it. But the idea that's there, that if I have to pay a regular set sum of money, monthly or yearly, for the privilege of trying to make a living for myself, then something seems kind of off about that. As I mentioned before, yes, there is the cost of doing business. And that's how these sites will set that up. They'll say, well, you know, it's going to cost you money to do this anyway. Well, yeah, I've spent money on studio equipment. I've spent money and time in the effort that I put into the work that I do. Got to keep the lights on, but that money has to come from somewhere, and it comes from me working. But you're over there saying, well, I can get you the work, but you got to give me a lot of money to make that happen. Oh, fuck off. I don't like that. And it, and to me, it's starting to equate to multi-level marketing, MLM. The people that go on and they have their Facebook Live thing where they're going, hey, I got these candles and they smell lovely and blah, 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 blah. Place your order now. You can get this and this. Or you can become a seller and make that money back by giving me $300 and I'll get you stuff. And off you go. It's just, I think it's unfair. It really is, because there's somebody who has created this, who is sitting on the top of the pile, who ain't doing jack shit for that money. Ill-gotten gains, I believe, is the phrase that I would use in this. It just doesn't seem quite right to me. I mean, yeah, if you start a job somewhere with a company, and they say, "Hey, listen, we have a dress code here. You're going to need to wear black pants and a black shirt and some decent shoes." Well, you know that you've got to go get that stuff. That's all well and good. But that's not paying a fee every month for the privilege of going there to work. It's kind of silly. At the same token, you know, and this is kind of a wild analogy, but it does work. Strippers. Well, they don't like to be called strippers. I'm an entertainer. All right, Cinnamon, sit down. They pay money to the club at the end of the night. They get a percentage. The club does. And that sort of seems kind of correct, because the girls come in, they do their thing, they make their money, and on their way out, they count out what they've made, and the club takes, I don't know what it is, probably what, 10% maybe, 15%? I don't know. They take a cut of the action. That's a little bit different, because it's kind of a sales thing that's going on. The girls don't walk into the club and the guy, well, there could be some of these, and they go, "You're going to give me $200 now, and then you can go to work." And so right now, you're automatically $200 in the hole. Well, it just makes them work harder. It gets that much more of an incentive to go out there and bust some ass and get it done. Savvy? Yeah, well, I don't know that I agree with that in that aspect. Maybe at the end of it, you know, after the job, a percentage is paid. Back to the voice acting thing, when you're dealing with an agent, that's typically how that works. An agent takes a percentage. That's how that works. That's called commission. They got you the job, you pay them a finder's fee, a commission for it. But if they don't know you and you want to go in and sell candles, or you want to sell cheap ass jewelry or some diet loss thing, and you got to buy all this product up front to sell it, and they go, "Well, that's no different than running a convenience store." Yeah, because a convenience store, though, the difference is that people are in there all the time buying that stuff. You're selling one product. You become that spokesperson for that little circle of friends that you have, and you become sort of a predator to all of your friends. There is a distinction between the two. Running a convenience store is certainly a lot more noble than running a multi-level marketing scheme, because it never works out. There are people who find these things and are kind of desperate to make a bit of money, you know, to live. And they get sucked into these things, these multi-level marketing things, or these pay-to-play type things. And they find themselves in a position where they're not, well, the product's not moving, and I got to pay all this money. And they get deeper and deeper and deeper into this kind of debt because they got stuck and they couldn't get out. They didn't know how to get out, because these companies prey on that whole, you know, you don't want to embarrass your friends by saying you're a failure now, huh? So they create that type of, you know, that type of motivation. And that's no good. That's no good at all. If you have to motivate people with idle threats and really sad, you know, things just so you can make money off of somebody else's back, that's just not cool. I don't agree with that kind of thing. And apparently there's some people still in social media who, you know, find this the appropriate way to do business. I guess. You know, you can really extrapolate even further and get into other really creepy things. Like, speaking of Facebook, if you have, say, 10,000 people who like your page, and you want to say something to all 10,000 people who you've gone to attract to your page, Facebook's going to go, nope, sorry, bitch, my platform. You want to talk to all of them, give me money. Right now, if you just post something now on the free, on the cheap, if you will, you'll get maybe five people. That's how that works. It really does. That's why, this is another really weird thing. When you see people who say, well, I advertise my business on Facebook, I go through that whole thing, they're not realizing that people see these ads and they just blow right past them. It does. Well, I get more bang for my buck when I advertise on social media. That's an illusion. We've talked about that before. It's not necessarily the case because it's not real. That's the whole thing. It's not real at all, such as it may be. There's this weird thing that we all get sucked into. All of a sudden you become this shill for something that's not there. And I feel sorry for those people who get pulled into the vitamin business or the weight loss stuff or the cheap ass jewelry or the candles and stuff. I genuinely feel sorry for them because I know that very soon they will see that it's not right and they'll get out of it. And you want to send a message and go, oh, please, honey, you know, save yourself the time and money. Don't do this. This isn't creative. This isn't anything new. This isn't anything that's going to set the world on fire. People are not flocking to buy X product. They aren't, because people understand how that is. And the only people that do get sucked into that are people that have fallen in that moment of weakness where they feel they sense an opportunity. And this is what's unfair about it, is the people that actually own those companies, they feel that they're cutting you a deal. They think they're doing you a favor by saying, hey, look, you can pull yourself into financial independence. All you have to do is follow my 13-step plan, and away we go. And it starts with step number one, write me a check. And then get your friends to write you checks. And then all of a sudden, once you've recruited all these other people, you don't have to do it. And, you know, everybody knows how that goes. And some of the people are so brainwashed by it that when you just go, look, it's a pyramid scheme, which is what it is, they'll sit there and go, oh, it's not. It's a reverse funnel. Still, it's a pyramid scheme. And it doesn't last. It cannot sustain itself. It's mathematically proven. It just doesn't work. Now, pay-to-play type things, kind of the same thing. I mean, there's an agency, quote unquote agency. I'm not going to name them, but they approached me about becoming one of their voices, and I looked them up, and they guaranteed X number of auditions, which are unpaid. You don't get paid when you do that kind of stuff. And I was looking them up, and you had to join. That's the whole thing. You had to join their network. You had to pay, you know, a few hundred dollars a year to have access to this stuff. And you'll make that money back. And I talked to several colleagues in the business who have all said the same thing, that that those who have done it, that have fallen, I guess, victim to this thing, they've done it. They've stroked a check for $500. They've had access. They got to do the thing. And he goes, yeah, I did a shitload of auditions. I did a ton of them. Man, I was voicing stuff left and right over there, but I didn't get one single paid job out of the thing. And I was out $500 by the end of the year. And if you think about it, sure, $500 doesn't sound like that big of a deal over the course of 12 months. But you got to write that check at one time. And there's several other places that are similar that do the same thing. And they say, look, you know, if you want to increase your odds of getting paid work, you need to join all of them. Well, next thing you know, you're $2,000 in the hole trying to get work. And then one of them will pipe up and go, oh, yeah, but we can guarantee that you will get in front of more people if you pay for the Supreme service or the Platinum service or whatever they call it. And then you get to do that. And it could be $1,000. It could be $2,500. You know, there's some stuff that's out there. And it's not right. And I've seen this happen, and it's almost indicative of just only in show business, only in entertainment where you'll find that kind of stuff. Whether it's music or acting or voices or whatever it is that you do, it's really where that lies. You're not going to find that per se in a in a standard 9-to-5, you know, job where you're maybe, I don't know, a programmer or an engineer or even a cop. I mean, there's not that world that exists in those lines. But people have this thing in their head that they can do this, and they're going to be in show business, and they're going to be known for their art and their talent, and they're going to get paid for that. And so these companies prey on that feeling, and they go, "Well, yeah, we certainly, you've got a great voice. Why don't you come sign up with us, and we'll get you the work, and you can realize your dream of being, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in showbiz. But you got to give us money up front." No, I don't like it. I really don't like it, and I think it's, I don't know, it just feels sort of skeevy to me. You know, by automatically putting that emphasis on, well, you gotta do better. You gotta get the work. You know, bitch, people hire you based on the way you sound in the voice acting business. What voices you can do? How do you sound? It's nothing personal. They like that sound, they'll hire that voice. They don't like that sound, they'll go to the next one, and they'll make that decision within the first 10 to 15 seconds of hearing the sound of your voice. And I shouldn't have to pay some hump a bunch of money to have access to a bunch of rejections. Step up the game, do it correctly, do it the hard way, go out there and put yourself out there. That was the best advice I had gotten from a colleague, a friend of mine, who said, look, you know, you just got to get out there. You just got to go do it. That's, you know, there's ways to do this without having to go through that stuff. And you got to watch your back, because there's a lot of really skeevy people out there. It really is. That's twice I've used that word in this show, skeevy. Nevertheless, there you go. I'm against it. For whatever it's worth, I don't know. Speaking of being against it, the new bit that we tried out here last week, the unpopular thought. Yeah, that's coming up right after this, right here from Radioland.
It's summertime, and Wizards has all your outdoor fun covered. Memphis' number one alternative smoke and vape shop is your CBD headquarters, but they're not just a CBD or smoke shop. Novelty t-shirts, hats, sunglasses, and more. New stuff in the store every day. Woodwick candles, silver jewelry, tapestries and candles, and really cool backflow incense burners. Great deals throughout the store. $19.99 Madison Avenue, open 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Online at memphiswizards.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older by smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
In our continued quest to always be creative and unique, and I'm not talking about just me or the people that I work with, I'm talking about everybody. The problem arises quite quickly that we are now inundated with really, really bad ideas. Have you seen this stuff that's out there? It's insane. I don't understand where a lot of this comes from, because they'll simply go, hey, this is new, this is real, this is what's happening now. No, I've seen that. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty certain I've seen that already, like a long time ago, you know. And it's like with a lot of bands. You hear that too, and they go, hey, man, we're doing something new and unique. And then you hear the music and go, no, that stuff sounds like everything else that's out there. It's like the country songs, the two country songs from different sides of the country. They came out, and they were almost identical tunes. It was really, really scary. And it's like, dude, where's your creativity in all of this? Have you lost your minds?
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, there you go. You've heard what's coming up next time on the program as we kind of go through it. Coming up, if you're consuming this program on the day it came out, which is Sunday the 18th, I think is what it is. Is that what today is? Yes, it's the 18th of August of 2019. Got to say that because I don't know when things are going to, you know, turn back around. At 8 p.m. Central Time today, the 18th, You can catch me at my usual Sunday haunt, which is at Radio Memphis, the Booze and Blues Show. Hell yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, as it usually is. We try and have live music in there just about every Sunday, and tonight is certainly no exception. We got three great guests on the program tonight: Reba and Wayne Russell, both guitar players and singers, and wonderful people there. And they're joined by their good friend Danny Green, who's got quite the story to tell as well. That is tonight, 8 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com. Whatever device you're listening to this on can get to that by just steering your browser over to there. If you happen to have the TuneIn app, which has this program on it as well, just look for Radio Memphis. If you favorite it, it'll always be in your bookmarks, and you can quickly get to it. So there you go. Find us tonight, 8 p.m. Central Time, radio-memphis.com, and tune in for that show there. It's the Booze and the Blues. It goes till 11 p.m. It's a fun time, and it's a good way to wrap up your weekend, because there ain't squat on TV. There really isn't. And, you know. there is that, right? We started a bit last week. Unpopular thought, and it arose. It was kind of a funny story, but it arose over the fact that I'll see things that people will say on social media, and they go, "Oh, this is the shit. This is wonderful. This is awesome. I can't wait for this, or I can't see that." Blah 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 blah. And you realize you have nothing in common with that, and I'm kind of one of those people. For example, today's unpopular thought: Chick-fil-A is not that great. Seriously, it's not that good at all. I mean, it's a fast food joint with substandard chicken on whatever kind of weird bun that thing is that they put on. It's not that good. Somebody goes, "Oh, but man, the lemonade there is awesome." Dude, it's country time. You can go to the grocery store and get you a thing of it, make it by the pitcher at home, and have you a time. It's not that good. I know. It's not popular because a lot of people line up and they go and they eat that stuff. Not me. Not a fan. Sorry. Y'all be sweet with that. Just an unpopular thought. That's all there is to it. Nothing to derive from. I'm sure somebody will be on their keyboards angrily typing away. I can hear it happening now. Oh, my God. You un-American heathen. How come you don't like Chick-fil-A? Because their food sucks. That's why. Enough. I'm done. I'm out of here. You heard what's coming up next time on the program. Until then, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.